take your Bibles and go once again to 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter, the first chapter. And 1 Peter, the first chapter, and I've read these verses last week, and I want to read them again, starting in the first verse. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, preserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That is again reading from 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 1 through 9. That which the Lord has impressed on my heart. Someone once said that life ought to come with a list of side effects. They said there should be a tag on every newborn baby saying life can be fun, and adventure, and excitement, and joy, but there are side effects. They said there's illness, broken relationships, betrayal, sorrow, loss, injuries, disappointment, heartache, crime and death, Well, to be honest with you, actually it did come with a warning for those who would pay attention to it. Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation. The word that means affliction, trouble, pressures, and problems. I say that was a good warning for the disciples indeed, but it was a warning for us as well. I believe that Peter found it to be true, and that's why the Lord put it on his heart to write to those that were strangers scattered about these areas, giving them a word of warning about the dangers that often come in life. Peter has just encouraged him, and we looked at it last week, about a living hope in the Lord, about a wondrous inheritance, and about an eternal salvation. But now, Peter continues in verse 6 by saying, wherein you greatly rejoice. Peter is saying, in those things that I've just talked about, you greatly rejoice. And there is reason to rejoice because of what we have in Christ. And Peter said, you rejoice in those things. But then he adds a caveat. Peter says in verse 6, though now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Peter says, you rejoice in the facts of the living hope. Then we rejoice in the thoughts of having an eternal salvation. We rejoice in a place called heaven. But Peter says now, although we rejoice, there are many. He said that now for a season, you need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Peter said there are distresses, there are griefs, and there are sorrows that create a heaviness in your heart. And we all deal with them. We all face them at times in our lives. But Peter, in verses 6-9, writes to them, giving them some words of encouragement for dealing with life's sufferings. Some words of encouragement redeeming with the lives sufferings. Peter gives the first one right off the bat in verse number 6. And we may overlook it, but notice again, Peter says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be your heaviness through manifold temptations." I am thinking of that word, that phrase, for a season. Peter says, first of all, I know that the heaviness is real. I know the hurts of your heart are genuine. I know the pain you experience is real pain. I know your hearts get heavy from the burdens of life. But Peter says they are only passing. They are only for a season. They're only for a short while. I know sometimes it feels like that it'll never end. I know at times we feel like that preacher has gone for months and even years. Sometimes I wonder, will it ever end? But based on the word of the Lord, it's only for a season. As I said in my study this morning, I was pondering the message and going over it in my mind, and the Lord reminded me of Romans chapter 8, where it says the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that waits for us. I realize that this life sometimes seems like filled with heaviness. Sometimes it just seems like it stays on and on. Seems like I hear somebody that is improving and doing better. Then somebody will call or text and say, "Can you add this one to the prayer list? This one is found out there. Cancer has returned. This one has found out that you're going to have to start treatments again. This one has had a loved one to die. This one is dealing with pains and hurtings. Preacher, it just seems like it's a never-ending cycle." But Peter reminded them it's for a season. Right now, we're in the middle of winter season. We looked at some very cold days. Hang on a couple of months, and springtime's going to come. And flowers are going to bloom again. You're going to see the trees green up and start flowers, start blooming, all of those things. Why? Because seasons change. Sometimes we think they're never going to. But I want to tell you, it's encouraging in my heart to realize that sufferings and trials and heartaches and disappointments are not forever. There will come a time when they will end. Possibly in this life, but it may be when we all get home. But definitely there. Peter wrote to encourage them and said, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Peter seemed to say that. I was taught by those words, if need be. And I thought, Lord, what is the purpose for Peter to say, if need be? Peter says that sometimes we may not understand here, but God knows why. Sometimes we may not have the answer, but God knows the reason. Peter probably knew these saints of God were hurting and saying, why? Why are we having to go through this now? Why are we having to struggle now? Peter said, sometimes it comes for a season, if need be. If God in heaven sees a reason to bring it, we may not always understand. But Peter said, I want you to know they're not permanent, but they're passing. And secondly, Peter also tells them that they can be powerful. Peter says in the latter part of verse 6, that you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than a gold that perisheth, though it may be tried with fire. Peter calls what they're dealing with manifold temptations. The word manifold speaks of a variety of things. It talks about things of various sorts. That word temptations speaks of trouble, affliction, and adversity. Peter went on to call it a trial of your faith. A trial of your faith. Maybe you're thinking, preacher, that sounds awful harsh. That sounds rough and difficult. And surely it does. But you see, God never promised us that life would always be easy. God never said, I'll make sure you don't ever have a headache. I'll make sure you never have a back problem. I'll make sure that you never have cancer. I'll make sure that you never have a heartache. God said there are times you're going to face manifold temptations. And He said they'll come from various sources in your life. That word temptation is from the Greek word that means a trial that tests a person's integrity, virtue, or consistency. It is the kind of trial that sees what you're made of. I have pastored coming in June of this year. I will have been pastoring for 39 years. I have seen a lot of people stay the course till something happened, and then they were gone. Some problems, some situation, some sickness, and they flew the coop. It is the idea that there are times these things testing our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. God is searching us and saying, much like He did with Peter, do you really love me? Will you really follow me? Like in the lesson, Peter, knowing that you're going to be crucified, will you still follow me? I believe at times God allows things in our lives to say, you remember that time that you said, Lord, I give you my all, I'll serve you with all my heart. So for whatever reason, God allows something in our life and said, now will you still serve me? Now will you still love me? Will you still be faithful with cancer in your body? Will you still be faithful when your strength is gone? Will you still love me when life hurts? He said that sometimes, according to the Psalms, sometimes we find ourselves at wit's end. Sometimes we find ourselves with our back against the wall. And God said, will you still serve me? Job, in the middle of his trial, said in chapter 9, verse 17, for he breaketh me with a tempest, and multiplied my wounds without cause. But Job said, I will not turn away from him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm just saying that sometimes these things can be powerful. As God tests our faith in Him, so they are passing, and they can be powerful. And then Peter says something so strange in verse 7, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Peter said there's something about the Trials of life, that they are precious. That word precious speaks of great value, of honor, and highly esteemed. See, gold is the standard that a lot of people go by today. You watch Fox News, about every 15 minutes, they'll advertise, invest in gold. Invest in gold. Don't trust the economy. Invest in gold. Why? Gold's the same. That's what's precious and valuable. But Peter said, when your faith is put to the test and you remain faithful to God, that is more precious than gold tried in the fire. When you face the trials of your life, then you say, God, I'm not quitting. God, I don't understand it. And God, I don't know why. And God, I don't know why, but it seems like I can't get better. But God, I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to trust you and I'm going to serve you. If this is how it is, God, I'm going to stay with you. God says that's more precious than gold that's been tried in fire. There is just something about the preciousness of a life that stays true in the fire. There is just something that honors God when we face the trials and we serve Him. God wants us to be faithful through the trials that He gets glory. Fantasia once said, God uses broken things, broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread, broken bread to give strength. It is the broken alabaster box that gives forth perfume. It was a broken Peter weeping bitterly who returned to greater power and usefulness more than ever. And then Vance said this, what really matters is what happens in us, not to us. And he's exactly right. It isn't what happens to us, but what happens in us. Peter says these sufferings, these hard days, they're passing. They can be powerful, they're precious in the eyes of the Lord. But then he's closed by saying they come with a promise. Look at verse 8. Peter says, and having not seen your love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Peter says there's something about the sufferings and the trials of life that calls us to have a greater love for Him and a greater intensity to see Him. While we suffer here and while we wait here, while we carry on in this life, we long for the day that we'll see Him face to face. I would ask the question for you just to ponder and think about. What does it mean to you that one day you'll see Him face to face? I thought about that this past week in studying. Then I asked myself the question, tell me what does it mean to you that one day you'll see Him face to face? I'll give you a few thoughts I had. It means for me that I'm going to be able to look upon the eyes and see the face of the One who before the foundation of the world saw me lost in sin and said, I love that one. That little boy from a nothing town and a nothing county. Them little boys that was held dirty knees and not a lot of talent. But I love that little boy. And I think I'm going to make a preacher out of him. I'm going to get to look on his face that did that. I'm going to be able to look on the face of the One that loved me more than Mom and Dad could ever love me. I'm going to be able to see the One that laid aside His robes of glory and His position beside God the Father and said, I'll go. And I let Him spit in my face. And I let Him smoke me with the rods and reeds. I let Him crucify me. That the world may have salvation offered to them. I'm going to be able to look on the face of the One who's going to wipe away every burden, every trial, every sickness, every sorrow, every sadness. I'm going to be able to look upon His face. He did it all for me. Peter says in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. What's Peter talking about? He was saying, right now you love Him, but one day you're going to see Him, and you're going to make it. You're going to get there. You're going to receive the end of your faith. Peter would say it, don't think somewhere along the line you're not going to make it. Peter said, one day you'll see Him face to face. Guaranteed. That's guaranteed. Why did Peter call it the end of our faith? Because once faith becomes sight, you don't need faith again. One day our faith is going to end in sight. And we're going to see Him. we're going to receive all that He has waiting for us on the other side. Until He comes, there's going to be heartaches and problems and sorrows and sadness and sufferings. They'll come. But Peter said they're passing. They're going to be gone one day. And what a day that'll be. Preacher, how do we get by now? Annie Johnson Flint was born in 1866. In her early life, she developed crippling arthritis. And she had it all the days of her life. But through her pain and her suffering and hurting, she is able to write some 6,000 poems. And in one of those, she says these words: "He giveth more grace as the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added afflictions, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace." That's how we make it through these seasons. That's how we press on. That's how we get on. Because He giveth more grace. He gives us mercy. He gives us added strength. And He gives us His peace. That's the message in my heart. That's what God said to bring today. I'm glad Peter gave them encouraging words for days of suffering. Because we all deal with them. They didn't just need it back then in those days. Boy, I sure need it today. I sure need it right now in my own life and heart. And you do too. And I'm thankful He loves us in such a way. Brother David, would you get us a song? And we're going to stand and sing in a moment. There may be a need in a heart. Maybe somebody that God has spoken to you in such a way that your heart was so heavy. And God was saying, just keep trusting Me. Keep walking with Me. This will all pass one day. And when you see Him face to face, it'll all be over. It'll all be well. I don't believe it's going to be too long till we see Him. I really don't. But till He comes, He said, I'll give you grace. I'll give you strength. If you need some of that today, this altar's open. While we stand, while we sing, would you come?